This is the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome to Eat Great, Live Well Radio, your trusted source for the information you need to take control of your health and your life. No complicated medical speak, just straight talk about eating healthier without giving up the foods you love. Now, here's the host of Eat Great, Live Well Radio, food psychology coach and best-selling author, Janelle McCauley.
Hi, and welcome to Eat Great, Live Well Radio. I'm Janelle McCauley, and I'm so glad you decided to spend the next hour with me. My promise to you is that if you take action on the information we provide each week, you will transform your health and your life. Before I introduce my guest for today's show, I want to invite you to go to eatgreatlivewellradio.com and get our free ebook, Do You Wish Your Kids Ate Better? It's packed with quick and easy ideas for making any mealtime fun and healthy. So get your free copy today at eatgreatlivewellradio.com. We've got another great show for you today, so grab a pen and paper and your favorite beverage, and let's get started. My guest on today's show is Pam Bilfeld. Pam is an internationally recognized nutritional health coach and food blogger. She left a successful but demanding career as a broadcast media director because she often felt too exhausted to function both at work and with her family. As a mother of three children who had reoccurring ear infections, she quickly became enamored by the mounds of information available on the internet about natural health. Pam waded through the data and figured out how to both raise her energy level and cure her children's ear infections using natural methods and changing what her family ate. The study of nutrition and natural healing became Pam's passion. She became certified through the Institute of Integrative Nutrition and Harvard Medical School. Pam's healthy and tasty recipes have been featured in several best-selling cookbooks and on popular blogs. On today's show, we'll be focusing on sugar addiction and how you can reduce your sugar intake without feeling deprived. Welcome, Pam.
Thank you. I am so excited to be here with you, Janelle.
This is going to be a great conversation. It's a topic that a lot of people think they understand, but and I'm sure you would agree, the more you know about it, the more confusing it can be. So, you know, my goal in today's conversation with you is to be able to simplify some of the things that are so complicated and give people some simple steps they can take to really get on the road to health.
Absolutely.
I want to start our conversation by asking you to tell our listeners just a little bit more about your background and what it means to be a nutritional health coach.
Sure. My background, I became board certified as an integrative nutritional health coach back in 2011 through the Institute for Integrative Nutrition. And in addition to that, I take online continuing medical education courses through Harvard University's Medical School Nutrition and Lifestyle Programs. As a nutritional health coach, I really look at each person in his or her entirety. What does that mean? It means weight, exercise, energy level, level of happiness socially and also within their work environment if they are working, and with their family. Although my clients typically do come to me with one specific issue that they want to work on, like to lose some weight or gain more energy, we delve into all of these aspects. This is how I can best get to the actual root cause of their problem, whether it be a weight issue or lack of energy or even a disease like cancer and diabetes.
Do you find that people come to you for one thing, but it's really something else? And do you find that they're surprised when they find out it's not what they think it is?
Yes, it's really quite amazing because this is what I learned when I was in school, and I was kind of questioning it, like, well, how's that going to happen? And it's true. When people will come to me, mostly women and men, really over the age of 30, and they're frustrated because they're not doing anything different in their lives, but yet they're gaining weight, or they're unhappy and they're not sleeping, and they don't understand why. They like their body doesn't seem to change mentally, but physically their body is changing, and they come to me, they want me to give them a quick fix, like food. What food should I eat? I hate vegetables, but so what else can I eat? You know, that basically the conversation always goes like that. And we start talking, and I calm them down. I said, look, don't worry about the food. We'll find something that you'll like. You know, we have to work together, and if you hate something green, I'll find something white for you that's healthy. But then we'll start talking, and I'll ask some questions. You know, tell me a little bit about your life. Tell me an example of your typical day. And once they start talking, they'll get to something where I feel that they seem to be frustrated, like their kids are driving them crazy, and they feel that they're out of control over that situation, or they're not happy at work, that kind of thing, which has nothing to do with the reason why they came to me in the first place. So we start talking about that, and ultimately, that's when they'll start binging, and they don't realize, or they'll drink too much, or they don't feel like exercising because they're all burnt out from their day, that kind of thing. So when I start redirecting the conversation and their focus to really what's bothering them, and if we could work on certain tips to fix that, then the other things fall into place. Like their eating habits seem to get better. They eat more of on a regular schedule. They don't need to eat so much, that kind of thing. And all of a sudden, once they do start working with me, ultimately they'll be happier and they do lose weight.
Absolutely. And, you know, as you were talking, I was thinking of a couple of the questions that, you know, I no longer do one-on-one coaching. I do our group program, Eat Great, Live Well. But when I was doing one-on-one coaching, I would take people through asking them some really just thoughtful questions about, you know, tell me what it looks like. Where do you eat dinner? And a lot of them would say they're eating in front of the television. So you know that they're not paying attention to what they're eating.
Absolutely.
They're paying attention to other things. And people don't realize that by not paying attention, you know, your body's not processing the food the way it should be. Or I'd ask them, tell me, how do you know when you're full? And they'd say, you know, when my plate's empty. So they're not paying attention to their body. They're just mechanically going through the process of eating. And as you know, when you do that, it just, your body just doesn't absorb the food the same.
Absolutely. It's really funny because my family, they make fun of me, and I hope they'll listen to this, you know, once it's recorded, because there is a phrase that I use all the time, and it really originated in Asia, and it's called harahachi bu, and it means eat until you're 80% full, and we here in the United States don't understand that, and their portion sizes are so large, but so how do you do that? That's the goal that we should get, to eat until you're 80% full, because mentally, if you feel you're 80% full and you wait 10, 15, 20 minutes, you really are full. You've had enough. And it takes practice. It really does. But my kids love when I remind them about that, because it's like to them that phrase sounds funny, harahachi bu. But if you were to look it up online, that's the exact definition of it. And that is a way that the Okinawans have lived. And these are one of the known centenarians, the people who have lived a healthy life until age 100 or even more, even older than that.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. I like that. I'll have to remember that. And I think people don't realize that, you know, their eating habits and their weight gain are really symptoms of something else going on, which I think is what you're talking about.
Yes.
They don't realize that they're reaching for food as just to make them feel better, or a way to feed their body when they really need to feed themselves emotionally and address the issues that are going on in their life.
Yeah, it's like a vicious cycle, because, of course, when you binge and you're eating, you get comfort, but it's not a lasting, it's not sustainable, it's not a lasting comfort, and then you crash, and then your body is looking for something else, and your mind, so you're looking for something else, and then you go back to those cookies or your chips and cheese or whatever you're whatever food you're binging on. It's really not the solution to your problem, as you said.
Absolutely, and I find that a couple things people really need to understand what satisfies them when they eat, because I know for me, I need something crunchy. That really helps me get more satisfaction.
That's the same with me, too. Mm-hmm.
And so I make sure that I get that built in a healthy way, because if I don't, I keep wanting something else until I get that satisfaction.
Yeah,
and
I'm like that also. I have trouble with the juice cleanses because of that, because I'm not crunching. It's mm-hmm. even though that's so healthy, but you know, you've got to know what you have to know your own body really, really well. So I'm with you on that 100%.
That's interesting, because I haven't found many people that understand that, but it sounds like you do. How do you get people to really understand when they're full? Because I find that a lot of people don't understand the difference between physical hunger and emotional hunger, and it's really getting them to start to shift before they can really make a change.
You know, really, the best way is to give people specific guidelines. Like you seem to be very knowledgeable about what you're eating. So what I would say to you would be somebody different, something different that I would say to my client who doesn't know enough about food yet and what they're eating. So I really I would suggest to give specific guidelines, like your protein should be 4 to 6 ounces of protein. That's the size of the palm of your hand. Have unlimited vegetables and have water. And basically that's it. I'm very, very specific about how much food. I even limit them to the amount of fruits that they'll eat. Have a half a cup, a tops, a quarter of a cup every meal of fruit. So I really ask them to measure the amounts of food they eat, and then that's their meal. And if they're hungry, then we'll tweak it. You know, so I'll say, look, I will tell them specifically what to have for breakfast, for lunch, for dinner. Don't snack in between, because your breakfast, lunch, and dinner should be satisfying enough to you. And let the time in between those three meals give your body a chance to digest. You know, if you keep feeding your body, I know years back at food philosophies, they would say, oh, eat small meals every 2 hours. But really, you're not giving your body a chance to digest the food that it's been given. So you have to give your body a chance to work also. And if a meal you're having doesn't satisfy you, then we'll add. Or you can have a little bit of snack. You know, you have to, like I said, you have to tweak it. But really, to answer your question, I give them specific weighable amounts.
I like that, because I think it's much easier for people to have something that's very specific that they don't have to go figure out. And I think a lot of people do tend to grab a lot more fruits, and while the fruit's got the fiber, it also does have more sugar in it. But going with the protein and the vegetables will help fill them up longer,
yes,
which will
absolutely.
Help. Which will help their bodies a lot, too.
Yeah, and fiber, and the vegetables have the fiber in it. So that's really what helps keep you more satiated and less hungry. And then there are also supplements that are healthy, supplements like fibrous supplements that will help to reduce hunger as well, that are safe.
Interesting. So we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, I want to just shift our conversation just a little bit and talk about sugar, because I know that's a topic that is on the top of everyone's minds.
It sure is.
This is Janelle McCauley, and you're listening to Eat Great, Live Well Radio.
Do you struggle with your weight or your health? Do you wish you had more energy to do the things you really want to do? Are you tired of counting calories and fad dieting? Do you want to eat your favorite foods and not feel guilty? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then the Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program is the answer for you. Being healthy isn't about fad dieting, feeling guilty, or eating nothing but tofu and wheatgrass. It's about making small, healthy choices that add up over time to create life-changing transformation for you and your family. The Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program will show you how easy it is to be healthy, happy, and well-fed all at the same time. Visit eatgreatlivewell.com for more information or to enroll in this life-changing program. You deserve to both eat great and live well. Check it out today at eatgreatlivewell.com.
I'm looking for a certain kind of woman, and I think you know her. She's an entrepreneur that is highly connected, successful, significant in her own industry, and considered the go-to woman in her community. She's received so much from so many women in business, she's ready to give back to others on their journey, lifting as she climbs. Hi, this is Sandra Yancey, and I'm the founder and CEO of eWomen Network. I'm looking to connect with the woman I've just described who lives in your community so that we might have a conversation about how eWomen Network's proven success system can provide her a platform to elevate her success and ability to support women in business. Our international community of managing directors are influencing the speed of success for women in business around the world. If that sounds like something that you want to be part of or know someone we should talk with, send an email to managingdirector@ewomennetwork.com. That's managingdirector@ewomennetwork.com, and let's start the conversation.
You're listening to Janelle McCauley on the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome back. Today we're talking with Pam Bilfeld, who's a nutritional health coach. And before the break, we were just talking about how you understand, you know, the difference between physical and emotional hunger and really starting to listen to your body. And I want to shift our conversation to sugar. But before we do that, Pam, I'd love to have you share what motivates you to live a healthier life. It's really, we focus on your big why. So what is your big why and how has it motivated you to live a healthier life?
That's a great question. As you had mentioned in the bio, the introduction for me, I was working crazy hours in a job that I loved, and I want to coin a term that really Dr. Mark Hyman created, and it's the FLC syndrome. And what that stands for is feel like crap. And even though I was working in a company that I loved, really every day I had FLC syndrome. And then when I had children, it just impacted. I was so tired and cranky and had headaches. And really, I didn't want to feel that way anymore. And that was when I just started going online. You know, I'd go to doctors, they would give me a pill. They you know, take this, take that, or take Advil. You have headaches, just take Advil. And, you know, it's just not anything that resonated with me. That to me is a Band-Aid. And I really wanted to get more information about why I'm feeling so bad. And my kids who had ear infections, why aren't they healthy? And how can I get to the root cause of all of our health and to really, for us to feel good and juicy and sustainable every day? And really, that was my motivation to just delve into this this health and wellness field. And really, the answer is what is on the end of your fork. Food really can make you FLC, feel like crap, or make you feel great. And there's not one food that fits everybody's, you know, not one size fits all. Kale just doesn't do it for everyone. But they're just to be able to figure out what type of foods, what type of exercises are best for you. And if you feel good, then I think that's the answer to one of the key to enjoying your life. And really, that is my big why, because I want to enjoy my life. And I want to feel good. And I want my clients to feel good as well.
I love that. And, you know, when I talk to people, it's really interesting because until people start to feel better, they don't know that there is a better. They think where they are is just where they are. They don't realize
that. Yeah, like that's how it is. Yeah.
And I love seeing their reaction when all of a sudden they start to feel healthier and have more energy, and they're shocked by what a difference it makes and how different they feel. They wish they would have done it sooner.
Oh, yeah. I mean, a lot of my clients say to me that they feel 10 years younger. They've never felt this way in their life. That they feel like now, you know, they feel like they wasted their teenage 20 years because they didn't have the energy during the day. They'd go out and party at night, and they'd wake up with, like, that cotton mouth in the morning. And now I give them ways to be able to live their life and wake up vibrantly. And it's really nice. It's a fabulous feeling.
It is, and my goal is, and that's why we're having these kind of conversations, my goal is to get people to really realize that there is a difference. You don't have to be tired. I want people to be able to enjoy their kids, enjoy their grandkids. I've got 3 grandchildren, and I love being able to keep up with them and do things with them and be part of their life. And it just, there's so much to do and so many possibilities and opportunities that I want everyone to be able to have the choice to do it or not do it, not have to stay away because they don't have the energy.
Yes. It's great. And it's so, you know, it's funny when I see people who they don't believe in this type of work. Like even my brothers, you know, they're tired, and I tend to preach to them. I don't preach to other people, but they're my brothers, so I feel like I can take that liberty. And they'll just say, yeah, fine. I'll drink water, and I'll have more vegetables, sure. You know, and I tell them, but you just try or take the stairs instead of the elevator once in a while. We're only going to the 3rd floor, you know, that kind of thing. And they take the elevator, and I take the stairs, and I meet them because they're not going to listen to me. They're my brothers. But it's just amazing to me. But my clients listen to me, and it's just great because they really do see that they could, like you said, they could just completely change their life around.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I want to shift our conversation just a little bit because sugar is such a big issue today, and we seem to be eating more and more of it. Why do you think so many people crave sugar?
Yes. True. It's a sugar craving is completely out of control. Interestingly, a sugar craving is really the body asking for energy. When sugar is digested, it becomes glucose, which is a fuel for all of the cells in our body. And processed sugar causes a rapid rise in the glucose, which is your sugar rush, and it releases serotonin, which is a hormone in your brain, and it makes you feel good. And this is followed by a crash. So your body starts looking again for the sugar, which is your craving. It's like a roller coaster. And really, sugar qualifies as an addictive substance. And this is why so many people crave it. And how it qualifies as an addictive substance, it's for 2 reasons. One is eating even a small amount of sugar creates a desire for more. And the second reason is suddenly quitting causes withdrawal symptoms such as headaches, mood swings, cravings, and fatigue.
Yeah. I think a lot of people say, you know, but I drink diet sodas. And I was at a conference this last weekend, and I was actually amazed how many people had diet sodas at their with them to get that energy. But they don't realize that even though they're not getting the sugar in the same way that they would if they had real sugar, their body doesn't know the difference with that sweetness.
Yeah, it's so true. Sugar-free products are not okay. They're laden with artificial sweeteners, and specifically, as you had brought up, diet sodas and diet drinks, they make you fat. And how they make you fat, even though they don't have any counted calories, is because they cause type 2 diabetes. I'm just going to give you one specific example. There was a 14-year-old study of 66,200 women published in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition, and it was discovered that diet sodas raised the risk of diabetes even more than sugar-sweetened sodas. And also, women who drank 12 one-ounce diet soda a week had a 33% risk of type 2 diabetes, and women who drank 1 20-ounce soda a week had a 66% increased risk. But That's not all, because the average diet soda drinker consumes 3 diet drinks a day. And anyone who's listening, I'm sure they're shaking their head right now. So why does this happen? The reason is that artificial sweeteners are way more sweeter than regular sugar, and it activates a genetically programmed preference in our body for sweetness more than any other substance. Artificial sweeteners trick your metabolism into thinking that sugar is on the way, and this causes your body to pump out insulin, which is the fat storage hormone, which leads to more belly fat. And it confuses your body and slows down your metabolism, and so that you burn fewer calories every day. Really, the only sugar substitute I would recommend is stevia. That's the only substitute that I have read about, come across at all, that doesn't have this type of effect as the other artificial sweeteners do.
You know, the information you just shared and the statistics, I think, are something that people really need to stop and pay attention to, because the your body doesn't know the difference between the real sugar and the artificial sugar, so it does kick off the things in your body to actually trick the metabolism. So it does think that it's getting real sugar even though it's not, so your body reacts. And I think people think that because it's diet, I mean, years ago I thought the same thing until I really started learning and understanding what it was. I thought I was doing something good by using the, you know, artificial or the diet products. And I teach people now, I teach moms, when we go to, you know, once in a while I'll take a group of people to the grocery store and I'll say, pick out the products that you normally would buy for your family. They always get cereal, so we go to the cereal aisle and they pick them out. And it's really interesting when they do, based on, you know, low sugar or low fat or, you know, whatever the front of the box says, and then we actually look at the labels and look at the products that are in them, they're shocked once they start understanding how it all comes together.
Yeah, I know. And, well, another thing about the diet soda addicts, if you look at their skin, they have kind of like an ashen complexion for the most part, as opposed to somebody who is drinking water. They don't look horrible, like scary. Like you wouldn't go, if you're seeing someone walk down the street, you'd say, God, their skin looks gray. But if you look at them compared to somebody who is drinking water or decaffeinated tea, for example, or, you know, lemon water, that kind of thing, you really will see a remarkable difference in their skin tone. And that's because it creates such an acidic environment in your body. If there's no nutrition, so you're filling up on garbage, on toxic garbage.
Interesting. So I'm going to challenge all of our listeners for the next week. If you're drinking diet soda, cut back, and, you know, you may not be able to do it all overnight, and you're going to feel some withdrawal if you do, but at least change one of those diet sodas and drink an extra big glass or two of water and put some lemon or some fruit in it if you want to for flavor. But shift what you're drinking. We need to take another quick break, and this conversation is fascinating, and I'm excited to continue it with you. This is Janelle McCauley, and you're listening to Eat Great, Live Well Radio.
Do you struggle with your weight or your health? Do you wish you had more energy to do the things you really want to do? Are you tired of counting calories and fad dieting? Do you want to eat your favorite foods and not feel guilty? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then the Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program is the answer for you. Being healthy isn't about fad dieting, feeling guilty, or eating nothing but tofu and wheatgrass. It's about making small, healthy choices that add up over time to create life-changing transformation for you and your family. The Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program will show you how easy it is to be healthy, happy, and well-fed all at the same time. Visit eatgreatlivewell.com for more information or to enroll in this life-changing program. You deserve to both eat great and live well. Check it out today at eatgreatlivewell.com.
This is the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome back to Eat Great, Live Well Radio. I'm your host, Janelle McCauley, and today we're talking with Pam Bilfeld, a nutritional health coach, and we've been having a fascinating conversation before the break on sugar. And if you just joined us, you absolutely want to go back and listen to some of the statistics and things that Pam shared about how sugar, you know, low fat and sugar-free products can trick your metabolism. And during the break, Pam was actually sharing an example of a client she coached who was trying to cut down on sugar, you know, on sugar-free sodas that they were drinking. Can you share that with me, with the, our listeners, Pam?
Oh, yeah, sure. It's actually the client who I'm trying to get hooked off of Diet Coke. It's not even the sugar-free. Like, she's just a complete Diet Coke addict. And she'll go to the, you know, the sodas that you buy in the store are not large enough. She'll go to the gas station, the little store always that they have in every gas station, because you could get, like, that big, gigantic size Diet Coke from there. And so that's where she goes every morning. And I won't say names, but it's really quite amazing, because she really is addicted, and it is a physical and psychological addiction. And when I had suggested to please drink water, just drink more water, cut down, drink water, put fruit in your water, it was so unpalatable to her, because it's such a big difference. And so now. She'll drink seltzer water, like sugar, like with no sugar, just plain seltzer water. So she'll have that same taste in her mouth, basically, of the carbonation, and then she could put some fruit as a sweetener in it, like strawberries, or like she'll throw in some even watermelon slices, that kind of thing, and that really was much more palatable for her. So she was ultimately able to cut down and then to stop. It took a while, but you've got to transition slowly, not take everything away. So at least, like, the texture and the feel was the same.
That's a great example to share. And it's what we find is that people try to cut out overnight and totally stop, they end up going back because they really miss it. It's just too much of an adjustment to make. So I love that example.
Yeah, and then they get frustrated. So, and then they say, oh, this is not going to work. I just can't do it. You know, that kind of thing.
Absolutely. And, you know, sugar is found, and most people know that sugar is in cakes and cookies and ice cream and candy. But we also hear about hidden sources of sugar.
Yeah.
So could you share some of those hidden sources and things that people might not be aware of that have so much sugar in them?
Yeah. Sugar can be found in canned vegetables, baby foods, cereals, peanut butter, breads, tomato sauce, certain brands of sauerkraut, salad dressings, and even in, quote, healthy food bars. Sugar really is in almost every packaged item. And often it's disguised in the label as in fancy language, like corn syrup or dextrose or maltose or glucose or fructose. And you could thank the big food companies for this as well, because they do this intentionally. They want you to get hooked on their products, and they do. They really do it intentionally. Big companies. There's about 12 companies that basically control $1 trillion food industry, and they're great marketers.
Wow, that's amazing. And you know, sugar does give it, give it more flavor. It gives you that sweetness that people really want. So, again, it's really important to read labels and to understand what you're doing. And look at portion sizes. I've gone from when I go out and get a salad, instead of having dressing on the salad, I ask for dressing on the side, because I can dip my fork in it and get what I find is a little bit of flavor goes a long way. But I went someplace the other day and forgot to ask them to do that, and the salad was just drenched in dressing.
Yeah, that's another thing.
Probably
just really pour it on. It's great. So even if you're not even conscientious of your food, it when that's like soppy salad, you know, that's a lot of people do that. They're just in a big rush and they pour the dressing on it. So that's a great suggestion.
And, you know, I also know, again, it's really listening and understanding what you need. I know for me, and I'll go out, and we were out the other night, and someone had some French fries, and they looked really good. So I had some. I mean, because it's not something I eat very often. So, and I, you know, it's a real treat. But you know, they poured the ketchup and they asked if I wanted some. I know for me, and there's a lot of sugar in that, I know for me, if I have it on one, I'm going to have a lot of it on all of them. So I just don't start. And I find if I just don't have it, I'm fine. I don't miss it. But once I start and get that taste, I just want more and more of it. And then I can't stop.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know anyone who could have just one French fry. That's, you know, that's the problem. You can't have just one French fry. I don't think. I don't. You know, it's just so hard. Like, why torture yourself like that?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And when I was out to lunch last week, what I did, oftentimes when I got with my husband, we'll split a meal, and it's perfect because it's the right amount of food for us. Mm-hmm. But I was with someone else. He wasn't with me. I was with someone else, and I said, why don't we just split a sandwich? And, you know, it was perfect. I felt so good. And at the end, they said, thank you, because they would have eaten the whole thing. And
exactly.
That's not really what...
Especially now, here mm-hmm. in this country, the portions are so incredibly large. So that's a great thing to do.
We are. And when we go out, we don't want to waste food. And if we're out for the day or something, we might think, oh, I'll just eat it because I can't really take it with me and I don't want to leave it here. But think about, you know, sharing your lunch with someone and getting some different flavors and just think about how you're eating it and what you're doing. It does make a huge difference.
It definitely does.
So how do you think our sugar consumption got so out of hand?
Really, the word is addiction, and as I had said, the food industry has intentionally hooked us on overprocessing, addicting foods that not only are causing obesity, since over 2 billion people in this world are overweight, but affecting our brain chemistry and our health. And there's just one more study. I don't want to bore you guys. There's just one more study I just want to mention very quickly. It's a study in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition, and it's been proven that sugar and high glycemic foods are addictive in the same way as cocaine and heroin. And there's a doctor at Harvard University, Dr. David Ludwig, and he proved that foods high in sugar trigger that pleasure center of the brain, and they spike blood sugar and are biologically addictive. And the big food companies, specifically Kraft, Coca-Cola, Kellogg's, Nestle's, Capri Sun, amongst others, label their foods as low fat and healthy and natural. And to replace that, they load their products with sugar, and their products are tasty and addictive. I mean, let's face it, an Oreo cookie is delicious. It's fun to eat, but really it's pure sugar, and it causes so much addiction. And the same way as a French fry, how do you just have one Oreo cookie and be satisfied? You know, your body's just looking for that pleasure that lasts just a minute or so, and then you end up crashing, and then you want more. And that's really how it got so out of hand.
Yeah. And there's an industry term called craveability, and when they're designing foods and they're putting together the makeup of a products to create a food, that's one of the things that they look for and assign a value to, you know, how craveable is that food?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true. Really, the best way to go about it, you know, a lot of times the ingredient list on food labels are so small and they're so lengthy. Really, a general rule, just to avoid this, is if you see really more than three ingredients or 3 to 5 ingredients that you don't recognize, if you can, just stay away from it. And sugar, the ingredients are always listed in the order of greatest to least. So, I mean, you'll often see that sugar is amongst the top three ingredients. Really, the easiest way is buy food without labels, fruits and vegetables, and proteins. You know, fruits, vegetables, nuts, seeds. If you're a meat eater, clean, organic, grass-fed turkey, chicken, fish, wild fish. Foods without labels. So this way you don't have to remember, like, oh, that's a word that's supposed to be toxic and not good for me. This way you don't even have to worry about it. But if you do buy food that's packaged, really you do need to take the time then to look at the labels. And at least you'll know what you're eating, what you're putting into your body.
Absolutely. And what I tell people is a lot of times they're saying, my kids won't eat vegetables, my kids, you know, won't eat those things. And what I suggest is that they actually take them to the store with them, because if you involve your children in the process and let them make some decisions and pick some different colors and make a game out of it, really enjoy it so much.
Or you can make a smoothie if you have a blender. You can make a smoothie and put, let's say you could put coconut milk in or even water in, like sweet, like fruits that you know they like, and throw in a small, without in front of them, like a small handful of spinach or a kale, where they won't even know that it's in there. And just don't put in enough, like, to change the color, like make sure it's still like pink in color or, you know, not green. And then they'll taste it and they'll see that it's sweet. You could even put in some stevia into it, and or some cacao nibs to make it chocolatey or chocolate protein powder. And it's really quite delicious. And the kids might not even know that there's a vegetable in there. You know, there are ways to sneak it in.
There are, and I think it's really, I know my grandkids love smoothies, and I think it's also important for us to eat those foods that we're asking our children to eat. Parents will say, you know, but my kids won't try it, and then we'll talk about how they eat those foods, and they say, well, I don't like them. So if you're making a face at a food, how do you think your child is going to want to taste it?
Exactly. Yes, we as parents have to definitely set the right example.
We do, and they listen, you know, they watch what we do so much more than listen to what we say.
100%.
So and it also takes, you know, 10 to 12 times sometimes to put a food in front of a child or anyone for them to really find out whether they like it. Oftentimes they say they don't like it, but it might be the way it smells, it might be the way it looks, the way it's cooked. There's a lot of different ways to serve food, so just because someone says they don't like it the first time, don't assume that it's something that they won't like if it's prepared differently.
Right, exactly. And there's so much information out there about how to prepare foods that kids will love. So if we as parents take a little bit of planning and time, they'll be able to reintroduce those foods, and eventually their kids will learn to like it.
Absolutely, absolutely. We're going to take our final break, and when we come back, I want to continue the conversation. I know you've got a couple more really important things to share. This is Janelle McCauley, and you're listening to Eat Great, Live Well Radio.
Do you struggle with your weight or your health? Do you wish you had more energy to do the things you really want to do? Are you tired of counting calories and fad dieting? Do you want to eat your favorite foods and not feel guilty? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then the Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program is the answer for you. Being healthy isn't about fad dieting, feeling guilty, or eating nothing but tofu and wheatgrass. It's about making small, healthy choices that add up over time to create life-changing transformation for you and your family. The Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program will show you how easy it is to be healthy, happy, and well-fed all at the same time. Visit eatgreatlivewell.com for more information or to enroll in this life-changing program. You deserve to both eat great and live well. Check it out today at eatgreatlivewell.com.
You're listening to Janelle McCauley on the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome back to Eat Great, Live Well Radio. I'm your host, Janelle McCauley, and today we're talking with Pam Bilfeld, nutritional health coach. And if you missed any of the previous segments, you absolutely want to go back. This has been a great conversation and one of the fastest hours that we've ever had. And I know, Pam, you've got a lot of great information to share about ways that we can reduce sugar in our diet, and even more importantly, reduce sugar cravings without feeling deprived. And I'd love to have you share those with our listeners.
Oh, sure. Okay. There are 8 things that I would recommend to do, because it comes up all the time. Even all my clients, even though they have different issues, they want to reduce their sugar cravings. It really seems to be one of the common issues for everybody. And it's actually easier than it sounds. Research confirms that you can repair your insulin receptors in 72 hours. If you have sugar cravings and you're eating out of hand, your insulin's just completely out of whack. But to repair it means that in 3 days, 72 hours, you can reset your blood sugar to normal levels, which will eliminate your sugar cravings and give you lasting energy throughout the day without dealing with energy peaks and valleys. And I will give you these examples right now. For the first 3 days, you would need to eliminate sugar and sugar substitutes completely. Avoid everything because they raise your blood sugar. So specifically, avoid white table sugar, even honey, which is not so unhealthy, but just for 3 days. Just do it for 3 days. Honey, agave, brown sugar, sucralose, which is Splenda, maple syrup, and molasses. After those 3 days, you can reintroduce maple syrup or honey, and I'll talk about that in a second. But just for those 3 days, just really make yourself do that. You can have stevia if you need a sweetener. Limit simple carbohydrates. We actually didn't talk about this at all, but really important to limit the carbs like breads and pasta because they digest in your body and turn into sugar. But you can have slow carbs like sweet potatoes, which is sweet, might help you with your cravings. Root vegetables are sweet, and that's a way also to give you that like sweet satisfaction, and it's also filling. Yams, pumpkin, and quinoa. I've got some great quinoa recipes on my website. Stay away specifically from ketchup, which has high fructose corn syrup in it. It's loaded with sugar. Bottled salad dressing, sauces, packaged cereals, and, of course, the liquid sugar that we talked about, which is sodas, juices, and alcohol, just for 3 days. Okay, that means even wine, red wine, just to reset your body, and you're going to see that your cravings are going to be eliminated from that. The thing I would ask you to do is to eat tons of vegetables at every meal, some cooked and some raw. Try to eat actually a pound a day. It's not as much as it seems if you throw some vegetables in a blender or make a soup or get a good quality vegetable soup. If you're not into cooking, Amy's canned soups are absolutely delicious. They're sold in most grocery stores and Whole Foods. You can get them they're so popular, you can get them in most grocery stores now. It's Amy's lentil soups. They're filling, filled with vegetables, and they're delicious. Avoid corn, because that's a starch and not a vegetable. Number three, eat protein at every meal. The size of your palm, which is about 4 to 6 ounces. Wild fish, organic chicken and turkey. I'm more plant-based, so I don't eat chicken or turkey, but if you do, that's fine. Beans, legumes, quinoa, protein powder, hemp seeds, and nuts. Try to have one of those at every meal. Number four, eat 3 meals a day. I had mentioned this before, and no snacking. Try to eat every 4 to 6 hours to keep your blood sugars even. And if you need to snack, if you're starving, have celery with hummus or a handful of nuts. Number five, eat half a cup of low glycemic fruits at each meal. Berries are the best. Blueberries, strawberries, they're coming into season, depending on where you live. You can get them all year round anyway. Don't have bananas just for 3 days. Bananas are fine later on, or that depends if you have a weight issue. So I don't want to get into that now. So it's just very high glycemic fruit. So avoid bananas. Apples are good also, but really berries, any kind of berries are the best. And try to eat the highest quality and the most nutrient dense organic foods that you can afford. Dark leafy greens are best. How many tricks did I give you? Six? Number seven, eat probiotics. Have probiotics. They take your health to the next level. It puts good bacteria back into your body, and it's great for your digestion, anti-aging, and infection prevention. What foods? Miso has a lot of probiotics. Yogurt, low-fat yogurt Be careful because yogurt can be high in sugar. You've got to look at the label if you're going to have yogurt. Sauerkraut, Bubby's Sauerkraut, has no sugar and it's delicious. Those are fermented foods that put the good bacteria back in your body. Also, you can take a great probiotic supplement. If you have a local health food store, ask them for guidance and they'll help you get the best probiotic out there. And talking about supplements, they're to take 1 hour before each meal, there are two supplements I would recommend that really, really help in getting rid of your sugar cravings fast. The first one is called 5-HTP, between 50 and 100 milligrams. The second one is called L-tyrosine, and the strength would be between 500 and 1,000 milligrams. They're amino acids, which are the building blocks of protein, and taken together, they'll give you more clarity and energy. And it's also, especially the 5-HTP is a precursor to dopamine, which is the pleasure center chemical of focus and pleasure in your brain. So that will help 100% eliminate your sugar cravings.
Those are really interesting. Now I'm going to, do you have your list just at the high level? Just tell them what they, one more time, just what they are.
Hold on. Yes, I will. Okay, so I won't go into it. You want me just to list it so they can write it down?
Right, just to list them if they want to write them down, and then they can go back and listen to each of them again.
So guys, get your pens out. Okay, ready? Eliminate, number one, eliminate all sugar and sugar substitutes. Number two, eat tons of vegetables at every meal. Number three, eat 4 to 6 ounces of good quality protein at each meal. Number four, eat 3 meals a day. Try not to snack every 4 to 6 hours. Number five, eat half a cup of low glycemic fruits at each meal. Berries are the best. Bananas are the worst. You could have apples and anything in between, but if you could get your berries, I would highly recommend to just go with the berries, blueberries, strawberries. Try to eat the highest quality, most nutrient-dense organic foods that you can find, specifically dark leafy greens. Number seven, have probiotics, fermented foods, if possible. That's tempeh, which is fermented tofu, or miso, or a good quality sauerkraut. And I had mentioned a Bubby's brand is excellent. Kimchi is good. You can find all this in the health food store or in Whole Foods. And number eight, or supplements, I specifically recommended 5-HTP along with L-tyrosine to take together 1 hour before each meal.
Thank you so much for sharing those. And you've shared so much with us today. It's been a great conversation and one of the fastest hours I think we've ever had. Can you tell our listeners how they can get more information about you and what we've talked about today?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Well, first, my website is www.ahealthylifenow.com, and you can navigate the website. It tells a little bit more about my practice, and there are tons of recipes. There are icons on the top of the website, so you'll see. Just click on the link specifically on recipes, and I've got great recipes in any subject category you could find there. I'm also all over social media in a big way. I'm on Facebook. If you just put my name on it, it'll come up, Pam Bilfeld. I've got, I have a personal site and also a professional site, and they'll both come up if you put my name up. My last name is spelled B-I-L-F-E-L-D, and I'm also on Twitter, same name, and I'm on Instagram on Pam Bilfeld health_wellness. I put a ton of my creations, my food creations on there, and I use it as a teaser. I don't really put the recipes up there, but if you were to go on Instagram and if you like what you see, and the same thing with Facebook, just put on the comment line to ask for the recipe, and I will be more than happy to email it to you. And my email, or you could just email me straight up, and my email is pam@agelessmindsandbodies.com. It's a plural, ageless mind. So it's A-G-E-L-E-S-S, mindsandbodies.com.
Well, thank you very much. And we will have a link so people can also get to your website and get to you at our eatgreatlivewellradio.com page. And as we wrap up our conversation together, can you give our listeners just one action item that they can implement in the next week to start creating a healthier future for themselves and the ones they love?
Absolutely. And this is, we actually didn't talk about this at all. Start a gratitude journal. It doesn't have to be anything fancy. You don't have to get a fancy leather journal. You could write on scrap pieces of paper, but write it down. Don't just put it in your mind. Every morning when you wake up, write down three things that you are grateful for. And every night before you go to sleep, write down one thing that happens in your day that you are grateful for. Even if you had the most god-awful day and everything went wrong, you find something, write it down. Even something that maybe you would really take for granted, like I'm able to use my to walk on my legs today. I can breathe without the assistance of you know, I can breathe on my own. So, seriously, something like that. We tend to take a lot of our health for granted, and you know, maybe we feel bad, and you know, we have stomach cramps and this and that. But really, that's the most important, to be grateful every day, and it just helps put your whole life in a completely different perspective.
Well, thank you very much for sharing that, and thank you so much for your time today, Pam. It's been a great conversation.
Sure, I loved being here. Thanks so much, Janelle.
You're welcome, and thank you. So until next week, remember that even small changes can make a positive difference in your health and your life. Healthy choices you make every day add up over time to create a healthy future for yourself and your family. Be sure to join me each week as we continue the conversation on how to build a healthy relationship with food and with yourself. And again, I invite you to go to eatgreatlivewellradio.com and be part of the conversation. Click on our Facebook link and share your thoughts. Let us know what your questions are about sugar. Let us know what your favorite tip is that Pam shared today. And share what you loved so we can continue that conversation. Take care and have a great and healthy week. Bye-bye for now.
Thank you for tuning in to Eat Great, Live Well Radio, your trusted source for the information you need to take control of your health and your life. Each week at this time, we bring you straight talk about eating healthier without giving up the foods you love. Join us next Thursday and every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on the EWN Radio Network. To get a replay of this week's show, listen to past shows, or contact Janelle, go to eatgreatlivewellradio.com. Have a great week, and remember, you can choose to eat great and live well.